So, a reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action, Krishna Consciousness, text number 18, continuing on to the Lewis Sutra conference. Text 18. Vijimanaya Sambhane Brahmani Gavinastani, Suni Chaiva Swabhi. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog's breeder. Krishna conscious person does not make any distinction between species or caste. The Brahmin and the outcast may be different from the social point of view, or a dog, a cow, and an elephant may be different from the point of view of species, but these differences embody meaningless from the viewpoint of a learned transcendentalist. This is due to their relationship with the Supreme, laws like the plenary portion of Paramatma, present in everyone's heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is real knowledge, as far as the body is concerned, the different castes and different species of life. The Lord is equally kind to everyone, because he treats every living being as a friend, it maintains itself as Paramatma, regardless of the circumstances of living entity. The Lord is Paramatma is present both in the outcast and in the Brahman. Although the body of the Brahmin and that of an outcast are not the same. The bodies and material productions are different modes of material nature, but the soul and the super soul within the body have the same spiritual quality. The similarity in the quality of the soul and the super soul, however, does not make them equal in quantity. The soul, individual soul, is present only in aspects of the body, whereas the Paramatma is present in each and every body. The Krishna conscious person has full knowledge of this. Therefore, he is a truly learned and has equal vision. The similar characteristics of the soul and super soul are that they are both conscious, eternal, and blissful. But the difference is that the individual soul is conscious within the limited jurisdiction of the body, whereas the super soul is conscious of all bodies. Super soul is present in all bodies without distinction. So the first again, Vidyavanaya Sampane Brahmani Gami Hastani Shuni Chaiva Swapaketa Pandita Samadarshana. The humble sages, by truth, virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the dog, and the dog leader.
Thank you.
Mom, Vishnu Vidaya, Krishna Pristai Vidaya, Srimati Bhakti Rama Chani Kamane, Namaste, Darshu Pindaya, Vay, Gauravani Pindarne, Nirvishe, Shas, Nivadi, Vasakai, Vidaya. So this is the simplicity of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness. Material life means to make something simple difficult. And Krishna consciousness means to make something difficult simple. So everything is ultimately quite simple. Krishna has mentioned at the very beginning, Deinam Mindita De Kamaram Yoganam Jara Mita Dahantra Prasir Girya Katrinavuyati as the embodied soul to Krishna. Continuous passes in the body from boyhood to youth to old age, but similarly the soul passes another body at the time of death. The self realized soul is not bewildered by all these changes. In other words, once we can separate ourselves from the body, then the next thing is find out who we really are. Now, the Bhagavad Gita says that because we think we're our body, we think everyone else is their body too. And there's only two reasons why we identify with this body and identify others with their body. So it should be consciousness. Because we're hankering for some material circumstance. And we're lamenting that in the past, everything I wanted to achieve wasn't achieved. Even Brahma is thinking like that. I became Brahma. But I only have four heads. In other universes, they have 16 heads, 20 heads, 1,000 heads. But I only have four heads. I'm a failure. One day, maybe I'll get 100,000 heads, like everyone, a normal Brahmin. So everyone in the world is hankering and lamenting. So as long as one is hankering and lamenting, and samat sarve shu bhute shu, one cannot see everyone equally. Sadvan rupa sarvasha. Shada Bhavati Bharata, Shadoyo Yu Purusha, Yoya Shkada Seva Saha. According to one's existence, 17:3. According to one's existence under the three modes of material nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith, and according to one's modes that one has acquired, one is taking a particular faith. So in other words, our vision of things depends upon what we're hankering for and what we're lamenting about. Generally, when someone is going to give us something, whether it's some physical object or prestige, then we think, oh, this is a nice person. And if someone's going to take something away from our body, either gross or subtle, then we think he's our enemy. So people, sometimes they like Brahman, sometimes they don't like Brahman. They like dogs, but they don't like cows. In the Philippines, they eat the cow or the dog. In the Philippines, they eat dogs. So they like dogs. Well done. Well cooked. And here they like, in the Western world, they like cows. Well done. But they don't like to cook the dog. Unless they run out of cows. Unless there's no more cows, then they'll start cooking dogs. But when they run out of cows, then they'll start eating the dog. If you go to one lady, took her very elegant French poodle in Hong Kong. One lady, she took a very elegant French poodle in Hong Kong. You know what a French poodle is? A little type of dog. You know, the dog was very nicely manicured with, you know, beautiful haircut. He was dressed in very expensive clothing. It had dog perfume on it. And she was going to this very expensive restaurant in Hong Kong. They said no dogs inside. So she gave the dog to the man standing at the door. The man didn't understand English. And she pointed to the dog. And the man smiled. He smiled and shook his head. She went in and ordered a meal. She didn't notice it was a very special preparation besides what she ordered. And she thought, well, this tastes really good. Then she went out, paid the bill, went out to get the dog. And the man standing there, who had taken her dog, smiled. So she said, can I have my dog? Dog. Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmani Gavi Hustani. So, unless one can understand that we're not the body, and others are not their body, what will mistake the activities of the material body to the activities of the self? As Krishna says in another place, Prasakim Grusha Chaiva Vidinari Ubalaji Vikaram Shagaram Chaiva Vidhi Prasaki Samava. The material nature is said to be the cause of all activities and effects. Chapter 13, text number 20. The donation of the Lydianese to be understood to be beginning as the transformation to the motion of matter are products in donation. So all we're really seeing is earth, water, sound, fire, air, and ether just taking different shapes. But when the earth takes a certain shape, we can all just discuss it. But if the earth is in a certain bath and has the right amount of air and fire, then we think, oh, this is beautiful. Let me take it home with me. So it's the same earth, it's the same water, it's the same fire, just a different shape. And sometimes you think it's beautiful, and sometimes you think it's horrible. But it's just its own nature appearing before us in different ways. And when we see its own nature, we think, oh, this is very wonderful. Let me enjoy it. And when we see it in a different form, when we think, oh, this is horrible, it's going to threaten my enjoyment. Don't make me unhappy. Kāra, 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 jīdehi, kūprakati, jīdehi, kūrūcha, sūsabhūtāna, bhakti, jīdehi, kūrūcha. Nature says it's caused all the causes and effects, material causes and effects, whereas living in the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world. What's the next verse? 21. 13. In other words, by our desires alone, we become entangled in this realm. When we desire something, then Krishna knows it as a super soul. Of course, what we desire is not independent. We desire when we hear the glories of something. So sometimes we modification means always advertise. Advertise for the newest car. Advertise for the newest video or iPod. Advertise for something. And when people hear how wonderful it is, I bought one, and my whole life was transformed. I turned it on, and I entered into Vaikuntha. And after that, I had no more worries. So people hear that and they think, yes, I was missing something, now I know what I was missing. They buy an iPod, they're still not satisfied. They find out they only got 8 gigabytes, and someone else has 32. That's the difference between Svargaloka and the Loka. So that way our desires are being manipulated. And the Supersoul knows we desire it, and according to what we deserve, he arranges to God. Which generally means that in the midst of desiring materially, therefore our vision of everyone else changes. In the midst of becoming attached to material desires, when we're becoming attached to certain desires, so those desires cover our consciousness, and it changes our vision. Vyayato vishayam sum sum sundaste supudayate sundas sundayate kama kama krodo vidayate. 262. While contemplating the objects of the senses, person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment thus develops. So that's the material world. A man generally looks around, tries to see where the God is supported. Oh, there she is. She's right up there. God is supported. Love. I haven't felt love like this in a long time. It's been almost a month. Yeah. Or a lady looks around. Where's Narayan? Hey, Rod, hey, Raja Devi, hey, Shalali, hey. Hey, Nanda Suno. So everyone's looking around. Oh, there's Narayan. But he only has two hands. That's all right. He has some money. He has money. It's better than another two hands. Because nowadays, that may not necessarily be true. Someone may see an elephant and think, oh, what a beautiful elephant. I'm in love with the elephant. Because people are, they fall in love with anything out of it. But they think love is going to stop there, or lust. They think love stops there. They think it's love, but it's actually it's lust. But it doesn't stop there either. Because from lust comes greed. If one can gratify one's senses, then one wants, oh, that was great, I need more of it. And there's no end to it. So one can't gratify the senses. Then it's hate. I hate you. So one wants love. Then it's hate. And in this of it, delusion. A whole conception of life is changed. First the bird is chirping. it's spring, the flowers are blooming. It changes into autumn. Then it's winter. And then once again. And once conception of life becomes bewildered. So the material nature is constantly changing our awareness. So, one moment someone is our friend, then they're our enemy, then they're our friend again, then they become a friendly enemy. But it's all products of bewilderment. It's all the result of being bewildered by the losing energy. But Lamara said, in this world, there's no enemy except for the uncontrolled mind. So we're just inventing enemies in French in this real world. We're just inventing enemies, creating. But actually, everyone is exactly like we are. Being bewildered by controlled desire is purifying themselves in different bodies. Prabhupada said, right, that desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the soul. Due to our past activities and desires, we've acquired the present body. And due to association in the present lifetime, different desires automatically arise. Just like if someone ran in here shouting, Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. And he has a big fuse and he's got by our past association, we'd automatically be inspired to run out of it. Because after we took the beating. But that desire would automatically arise. We wouldn't have to look in Bhagavad Gita, now that he's shouting Al Akbar, what should I do? Vidya the Nayasa. Somebody go here. Should I teach him the Hare Krishna mantra? No, this is why previous association, we'd all run out of there as quickly as we could. Similarly, if someone brought in a big wedding cake. And they started to cut it up. And they started to cut the wedding cake. Then everyone would know what to do automatically also. Most of us wouldn't get out of our clothes, you know, on camera and start taking pictures. No, but due to past association, certain desires are automatically arise. Therefore, we have to know how to not get bewildered by our desires that arise in our conditioned life. One should see the desire. One has to learn how to see the desires properly. ground half and the reason he died back. Tadrat Kama Yantarishan Ji Sarve, Sarve, the Shanti of Atmodi Nakama Kami. 270. Person who is not bewildered by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean with its ever being. Person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean. It is always being filled, but it is always still, and alone achieves peace, and that the man strives to satisfy his desire. In other words, just like when I went to school, I studied psychology. And the type of psychology which was taught at the university I went to was behavioral modification. A man called B.M. Skinner. And he took his philosophy from Pavlov. Which is more or less group on a stimuli and response. That philosophy is that in the world there are certain stimuli. Just like Pavlov had some dogs. And what he did is he rang a bell and then he fed them some food. And not sure the dogs would produce the saliva. So he did this long enough and then he started to just ring the bell and automatically the dogs would produce saliva, even if he didn't feed them. So the stimuli was the bell, and the response was the saliva. So naturally, all the people that Pablo was dealing with were just like dogs anyhow. Or less than dogs. So he concluded that people, since they're just like dogs, they'll react just like dogs. If you give them a certain stimuli, then you'll get a certain response. And then came B.F. Skinner, who was lower than a dog. So he created a whole philosophy how human beings are just like dogs. But later on, they came out with other philosophies. And they call it proactive. Actually, proactive means that in between the stimuli and your response, there's a possibility of considering what an appropriate response would be. So that depends upon one's knowledge. Just like I've given the example before, a man is walking down the street and he sees a beautiful woman. And immediately the mind says, go get her. Rah, go get her. In English they say, stick her. That's when the dog is going to bite the man. Go get her. But if he has any intelligence whatsoever, out of many thousands among men, one that has some intelligence. So then the intelligence says, wait a second. The mind says, we don't have a second. Don't listen to me. Okay, what do you have to say? Look at her. She has a dot on her forehead. She must be married. She has a dot on her forehead. She must be married. And there's a man looking, standing next to her. There's a man who is standing next to her. The mind says, oh, don't listen to this foolish intelligence. He always spoils all the fun. No one believes his philosophy anymore. Next, he'll start quoting from the Bible. Next, he'll start quoting from the Bible. So there's only one philosophy nowadays. The highest truth is, if it feels good, do it. Don't accept any secondary truth. All superstitions. From all superstitions. No, mythology, superstition, things that aren't right. So the soul has to make a decision. Am I going to listen to the intelligence, or am I going to listen to the mind and the senses? If the intelligence is great enough, you can convince the soul to control the senses and then utilize them in Krishna's service. So often the man and the woman sell them a book. Or give them some prasadam. But if the intelligence is not very strong, then the soul says, my dear intelligence, do something practical. We've heard enough philosophy. Do something good. Think of a way to meet her. So then the intelligence, instead of controlling the mind and senses, becomes the mind and senses servant. And then the intelligence says, write her a letter. Tell her she's the most beautiful person you've seen in the last 2 weeks. That you're madly in love with her. That she should meet you in such and such place. In such and such time. And you'll give her the sun. You'll give her the sun. And the moon. And if she's very nice to you, you'll throw in a couple of stars also. But don't sign the letter. Don't sign the letter. Because if you look, you'll see there the person standing next to her. He's twice as big as you are. So this way, one becomes bewildered by it. So one has to have sufficient knowledge so that when desires for sense gratification enters in the mind, one doesn't become bewildered by it. One has to have sufficient knowledge. So when desires for sense gratification
enter into the mind.
And if pain is deadly.
Why does it become bewildered by it? One goes on with devotion, using the mind senses to Krishna's service. Ultimately, one is actually conscious of Krishna. Then one will not be influenced by material desires. But generally, when we look around in the material world, we don't see people or things in relation to Krishna. We see them in relationship to our sense gratification. Either how this person or object can be a victim for my sense gratification. Romeo, although it seems like it was romance, and when he saw Juliet, although it seemed very romantic. But actually, he wanted to exploit Juliet. If he was a dog, he would want to eat Juliet. But being Romeo, he was more polite. He said a few nice words before he wanted to devour. So the material world means sometimes politely we try to exploit others. And sometimes in an impolite way we try to exploit others. So everyone wants to exploit others, and everyone's afraid that they're going to be exploited. So unless one is Krishna conscious, one is simply under the spell of illusion. That it's not possible to do things properly unless one is actually conscious of Krishna. That everything is Krishna's property. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Manasu Geho, Geho, Yoki Shumora, Arkilutu Yatare, Nandi Kushora. That my Manasa, my mind, Geho, my home, Yoki Shumora, everything I possess, my wife, everything I possess. Everything belongs to Krishna. So unless we remember everything belongs to Krishna, then we're in ignorance. And unless we remember that everything is meant for Krishna's service, then we're in passion. And unless we remember that actually, even when we utilize Krishna's energy in Krishna's service, that it's simply by the mercy of Krishna and his representatives that we're able to do that. If we think we're independently serving Krishna, then we might be in the throes of Krishna. But we don't really understand that actually we can only be an instrument. But one is the perfect instrument of Krishna. He sees that everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. And the best thing one can do is desire to become Krishna conscious. And help others become Krishna conscious. Any other desire except for that would simply cause bewilderment. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Namaste, 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 namaste.
Yes. How to live Krishna consciousness, can you control these desires, so you're not desiring things within Krishna, material things within Krishna
consciousness?
Well, Krishna says, Shaitora vidalava jagadema, jana sukhikina arjuna, artha vignasya arthara ki jnani shabha harashiva. That four kinds of pious people approach this is chapter 7, text number 16. So generally we start out in distress. So how to get over that? Because we follow the regular principles of devotional service, gradually our distress goes away. Just by following the four regular principles, one eliminates a large amount of distress. So generally, there's one chance, at least 16 rounds a day. And try to avoid the 10 offenses. One gets sufficient spiritual strength to avoid breaking the regular principles. And then, after that, one generally wants to become comfortable. One gets sufficient knowledge but actually feel comfortable. In modern society, people don't know what sex gratification even is. They think is that you get tickets to a football game, that's sense gratification. But actually, real sense gratification means to have clean air, clean water, fresh, prasadam, peaceful life, nice to be able to sleep peacefully, friendly relationships with others, and freedom from anxiety. That's real satisfaction. So, if one becomes sufficiently intelligent in Krishna consciousness, then he gets those things. He acquires it. He becomes like Krishna. Lives on a farm. Gets nice milk from the cow. Krishna and Balaram, obviously they live in the world of the best kind of sense gratification. As Krishna and Balaram, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, so they give more sense gratification and move to a city. But we don't find Krishna, Balaram, Nanda Maharaj, and Yashoda, and Radharani. They don't all pack up and go to cities. When Krishna invited Mother Radharani to come to Dwarka, said, no way. I'd rather live in the village. So one knows, one learns what real happiness is, even materialism. Then one inquires how the material nature works so that we can avoid even more problems, the threefold mission. And then after that, one realizes that there's no happiness in the material world. Better to get out of the material world. So these are all subtle materials, gross and subtle materials, dark. But the process is hearing. Just like a person who's in distress, he just wants to hear how to get out of distress. So he reads prophet's books or hears sufficiently, he'll realize how to get out of distress. He'll hear if he chants Hare Krishna, he follows the regular principles, he eats prasadam, and his distress will go away. And then when his distress goes away, he'll want to do something better. Say, he wakes up and says, I'm not in distress, what am I supposed to do now? Let me become happy. And he learns about, you know, how happiness is living in a nice, peaceful place and having nice food and fresh air. He moves to an echo building. And then after he feels peaceful, comfortable, freedom from anxiety, then he wants to save everyone else from their misery. He wants to become free from any subtle miseries and save others too. Then he wants to become a recognized preacher. Look at how many people I saved. Actually, I really have four arms. You just can't see the other two. Then after that, one realizes that actually, I'm not the savior. I'm not the, you know, I'm none of these things. Get out of the material world when I can. And then when he's liberated from all material steps, and at that point, once he begins real devotional service. Anything else? Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Brandara Shalan Bhagavad Gita Kida Siddha Prabhupada Kida Bora Pramande
Kida
Samaveda Bhakta Vrindhi Kida Shri Radha Shaila Sundara Kida.